Yes, so Kim, hello Kim.
Hello.
We are here at the conference now, and you've been running these for 10 years?
10 years, yeah, this is our 10th anniversary this year.
All right, so, and what was it like when you first started off? What did you end up, what was your vision?
What my vision was, well, to be honest, and as I told a story yesterday, that I suffered a lot of intimidation from the church, and excessive stuff, and far too much to go into now. And my choice was to lay down and, you know, just crawl under a stone and never pick up my tarot again, or stand up and be counted. So 10 years ago, I launched the first tarot conference, and there was just, I suppose, about 20 people there, and a few British speakers, just local people that I, not local, but authors that I knew, and we put it together. And to be honest, it was only ever meant to be a one-off thing. But people then started to contact me, can I speak at your conference? So year two happened, and here we are 10 years on.
So it's so 10 consecutive years.
Absolutely, yeah.
Very good, and you've been able to get some big names here over those years as
We've had Rachel Pollock, Mary Greer, Corinne Kenner, Mark McElroy, I mean, a lot of American speakers, but obviously a lot of British speakers as well. So, no, we've done really well. And what's nice, in the early days when I was struggling to find people to speak because I was an unknown, if you like. Now it's like, well, do I have Mary or do I have Rachel? So I'm not being flippant about that, but it's, you know, we have grown to such a reputation, I suppose, that now, you know, we invite and people come, and that's lovely.
Wonderful. And I had something in mind that I was going to ask you about, and yeah, that's right. Future tarot conferences then? The plan is just to do them every year or so?
Oh yeah, absolutely. For such reason I can't do them anymore. But I mean, a few years ago I thought, do I want to continue with this? Mm-hmm. And I just think, so many friends every year, you know, it's just, I would never let it go. I mean, I've got other businesses which I'm thinking about, you know, just dispersing and just concentrating solely on the tarot. And, you know, maybe doing a novice one in the year also. That's something that's been on my mind. Because obviously this conference is for people that have experience of tarot.
Yes.
So if people ring me and say, I've never picked up a pack of cards in my life but I want to learn, then this is not for them. Because when I first started the tarot conference, I thought, as a professional reader, where do I go to learn more? You know, and I think you're never that conceited that you think you know it all. And so I felt that there was a niche for really people that are intermediate to advanced and professional readers, where we needed to go to be together, to have these people, you know, share their knowledge with us. So that was really, but anyway, so maybe possibly a novice conference. I'll think of a better name of it than that, but that's what it will be. But the UK Tarot Conference, you know, it continues to grow in numbers every year, and a very good following. And this year has been very special, you know, with the 10 years. We've been to the Freemasons Hall, we've been on the London Eye to signify the Wheel of Fortune. We've all drunk copious amounts of alcohol over the last 2 days, so I'll be glad to get home and get back to normal. But it has been wonderful. And the friendship, I said last night, because we've got people here from New Zealand, Australia, America, from Finland, from where else, Iceland, from France, from Spain, from all over the world. And I thought, who would have thought that little pack of cards, that little box of cardboard, connects us from across the oceans, and that's exactly what it does.
It's a wonderful quote. Very good. How many registrations did you get for this particular
conference? We're about 87 for this one.
Great.
Yeah, so just, I mean, there's quite a few badges there, so some people haven't turned up but they've paid their tickets, and you know, no doubt there'll be a massive emails when I get home as to the traffic, or you know, mother-in-law dropped down dead or something. But you know, we've exceeded the 80, and that's wonderful. Well, I think when we started off there was probably about, you know, 25, and then it crept up to 35, and but it has built momentum, and we are, you know, we're known, and people look forward to it. And I think for me also, it's very important that tarot comes to a lovely venue, that it comes to a venue where people feel that this is like the Harrods end of the market, if you like.
Professional.
And the sense it, because I think tarot has such a bad press, a lot of the time it does. And I think if we put on events in the village hall, and we don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think if we want to showcase tarot, we have to show that we mean business, and that we are prepared to spend the money and pay for beautiful venues and you know, get great sponsorship from Llewellyn Hay House and Bliscarabeo. You know, these people are proud to put their name behind us, and I'm proud to be associated with it.
That's a very, very effective goodie bag that you've got
Great, thank you.
A nice big surprise.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we do well with that, and so we've got that reputation now that I call them our sponsors. They're sponsors in as much as they give us the goodie bags, that people know they think what we got in the bags, and we never give out the bags until Saturday. Mm-hmm. So even if people who came on Thursday, they've been what's in there, Kim? So they've been, the big unveiling was this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done very well.
Good, because apart from paying your money to listen to these quality speakers, you've also coming away with a nice bunch of goodies that pretty much covers your fees. That's good.
Absolutely.
And your Wheel of Fortune tour that I missed out on, so I wasn't in London at the time, or wasn't around at the time. So who organised that?
I did.
You organised it as well.
Well, I had a vision last year when I decided that 10, and I think 10 was so unique for me because I didn't think I'd get here, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd have passed it on at 4 or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, number 10, I just thought, I just want to make this. When people go away, go, my God, that was really special.
Yes.
So, obviously, we created the deck and the cards for the 10th anniversary. That was...
I didn't get to see those.
They're here, which I'll talk you through in a moment. But there's a self-published book there, and then Hay House took the book over, so there's only 50 copies of that, and then obviously that's actually being launched in June next year, but they did rush out some copies so that we could have them for the conference. So I really wanted to put a lot of substance behind this one, so we went to the Freemasons Hall, the Grand Lodge in London, which was amazing, absolutely amazing. We had a tour in at the Freemasons Hall, and then from there hopped on buses to go along to the London Eye, where we had a private pod on the London Eye, and Geraldine Beskin, who owns Atlantis Bookshop, she is a fountain of knowledge. And so when we were in our private pod, there was 22 guests, plus myself, plus Geraldine, plus the lady who helps me. So there's 25 of us. And then Geraldine was saying, over there is St. Paul's and the significance. And, you know, so it was wonderful. But unfortunately, when we came off the eye, we went for what we call tees and wees, and then it started to rain. So we hopped in taxis back to Atlantis Bookshop because we did have a plan B that if it rained, then we'd go back and we'd finish the tour there. And Geraldine had it on her iPad, mm-hmm. and she talked about historical places that connect to Pamela Coleman Smith and A.E. Waite and Crowley and Mathers and all these people. So she's just got such a wonderful, intelligent lady. And anyway, so that's what happened. So we had a good talk for a good hour, and then we just chilled out. We had, you know, a little buffet and some food and a drink, and it was wonderful, and people didn't want to go home.
So the Wheel of Fortune tour, it wasn't so much starting off in this location that represented the fall and that represented...
Well, actually, yes, it did. We had 22 locations, each which was significant to each card. So, for example, Cleopatra's Needle was the Lovers. The Thames was the Hanged Man.
Is this in your book?
No, it's not. No, this was something which Geraldine had put together. So there's lots of significant. But we are talking about putting, when we learn how to do it, Geraldine's going to talk it onto MP3, so people can download it. So that I hope we'll get that sorted in the next few months.
And I guess that'll be uploaded or mentioned in the Facebook post.
Yes, of course. Yeah, and the idea is that you can download the MP3, and it says, and then we went to Cleopatra's Needle, which is on the corner of this, and, you know, and we'll take you on a audio tour of London, basically, mm-hmm. and why those cards were associated with certain places.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I've done putting together a similar thing in Adelaide, where I've found certain statues, like the Hercules statue representing strength and things like that. So that'd be interesting to see what the London version of it is.
Yeah, well, we'll try and get that. We will sort it between us. We will get that done.
One of the many projects on the top of your...
Yeah, definitely.
On the top of the list at the moment.
No, great stuff.
Good one. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Don. And thank you for coming.
Oh, pleasure.